We do enter into the bite of our Abba. We come in your most Kadosh name. And in the fellowship and the Ruah of Yahshua HaMashiach. There is no name given under HaShemayim whereby Israel must be delivered. And so as we come into this bayat, as we acknowledge you, Almighty Yah, we prepare our minds to battle by the certain sound of the shofar unto Yahweh. Your mighty name. We exalt you, our Abba, for all things. We know that you are in the presence of Israel. They gather throughout the nations of the world, throughout the different localities here in this nation. We do pray that your Ruah, the power of your Ruah, will fill the house. And the presence of Yahshua HaMashiach, the living word of our Abba, be rested the bosom of Israel. They may shout with great Yeshua the victory that we have of the Lamb of Israel, Yahshua, the mighty hope, the Tikvah, Israel. We do humble ourselves before you. We greet you, our Abba. We cry, hallelujah. 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 For Israel cries, hallelujah. 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 You are the Most High. You are the Excellent One. For there is none other like you, our Abba. You will not share your honor with anyone. You have not come from the pantheon of gods and deities, lords and idols. For you are the Most High One. And everything that is seen by the eyes of man have been created by you. So we barak you, our Abba. We esteem you highly. We lift up the precious name of Yahshua. With that name we find the Tikvah of our Abba. We worship you, we praise you. Your healing virtue flow in Israel. You may touch everyone that needs the healing flow this day. Those that are listening by the live stream today, that you will touch them mightily and heal them in Yahshua's mighty name. Touch their bodies, their infirmities, the battles of their minds, the onslaught of hell as the enemy indicts them. We know we have a deliverer in Yahshua. Those that are battling the crushing blows as the opposition opposing them for their desire and integrity of your name that they uphold. Strengthen them, I pray. Show unto them favor this day, Yah. Cause their love to be revived. Cause the power of your Torah to be reinstituted in their lives. And the value of your statutes, your ordinance, your truths, Almighty Yah, may fill them all, I pray. For we shall eat the whole stale of bread. And that whole stale of bread is Yahshua HaMashiach. We cannot eat the whole Steyah and not obey what HaMashiach commands us, for it's based upon the whole staff of the bread. Bless your people today. Help us all, I pray, that the words today will be inspirational. The words will cut to the core of this corruption in Israel and root out this insidious, wicked thing that operates in the depths of their minds, their being, in the centrality of their life. We will root it out by the power of your words. We will cast forth your words in the midst of Israel, that it may go forth as a powerful, sharp two-edged sword, and that it will cut, and that it will destroy the tumors of the mind of Israel. We will not be overweighted with lust, covetousness, greed, the cares of this life, which suffocates the power of your words. We will give ourselves over unto obedience. We will ahava you, Yah. We total you this day for this Shabbat. We may enjoy the Shabbat, the wonderful rest in Yahshua. That we may enjoy the delight and the delights of Yahshua. We rejoice today. We shall lift up our voices. We shall lift up our hands. We shall stand before you and dance. We shall rejoice in the might of your power. You are the everlasting one. There is none other like you. We ask it all in Yahshua's mighty name. The strength of your Daban, your word, will be in the midst of this tabernacle today. We ask it in Yahshua's name. We believe it so, and we acknowledge you in all things. And Israel cried, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Yah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We shall sing the praises of you, Abba.
Hallelujah.
We shall bless you for all that you have granted unto Israel. For we are delighted this day, the Shabbat, the time of Shabbat, that we may rest in our Hamashiach. We barak you for that. We esteem you highly, the Most High. For your name alone is the excellent name. For in that name we find your Yahshua, salvation unto Israel. For that we tota you, Yah. We tota Yah. We tota Yah for all things. And the precious promise take from Yahshua. We brought you they this hour, Abba. Bless Yisrael, those that are listening. Those that will hear this message in whatever form. Give them strength and assurance. And the precious take by Yahshua. We do brought you. Yisrael said, hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, my friend. For Yah shall speak to you. And bring his healing. Yahweh blesses you. Shalom, you may be seated. For I do barak and esteem my Abba, Almighty Yah, by the heights of Hashemayah, for his name is excellent, and the beauty of his majesty is excellent. And we enter into the presence of his people, we come to worship him. Then we must acknowledge that. Let it be known that Yah is in the midst. I say it often that this is a rebellious generation, and there's a reason why we walk the way we walk. We cannot find the answers in Scripture, then we are a dismal people above all people. And the reason that one cannot discern their conditions because we do not go before the altar of our Abba continuously. We're not making the offerings unto Yah that we ought to. And the offering of Tota unto Yah appraises with our hands raised unto him. This is a defiant generation. You are very defiant people. We defy what Yah commands us. We take no thought of what he emphasizes to us. Because we are a vile, rebellious sickened people. Your sins have caused the tumors in your mind. Your mind cannot function in the spiritual realm. It depletes the flow of blood and oxygen to one's mind. And because we've allowed these tumors to develop in us, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of your own pompous pride, then the power of Torah cannot correct us. And the life of Torah is suffocated by our own frivolity, our folly, our wicked ways. Yah must send the sword in the midst of Israel, that his house may be corrected, that his people may walk in compliance to what he has commanded us. When he tells us to lift up our hands, he means what he says. When he commands us to hallel, to praise him, to filat, Yah means what he says. And because of this damnable wickedness in this generation, it is a criminal generation. It is a generation with criminal intent. A criminal plans out his robbery, what he is going to steal. And we do the same thing before Yah. Well, I simply do not feel like it. So I will not respond properly. That is the tilt of wickedness. It is a blatant defiance of Yah. And when you know that Yah commands you to do something, it is right to do, isn't it? Then you willfully sin before him, and there remain no offering for your sins. None whatsoever. And as Deacon Horn brought out to us, he tells us, you're going to have to answer me now. Now what answer do you have? Yet he has given unto Israel the most profound strength that they could ever have. And that is the power of his Ruach HaKodesh. And it does not capitulate to the things of Yah. It does not turn from the things that causes Israel to be enlightened, to be empowered, to be strengthened, to be lifted up in the presence of Yah. The Ruach of Yah never turns away from that. Now what turns our minds and our love away from that, it is because of the wickedness, the sinfulness that we hold fast to. We do not identify our sins and our vile, corrupt ways. And there's a reason why. There's a reason why. It has produced every kind of wickedness in your love that is unimaginable. And we take it lightly too. We think that, well, this is me. I can do what I please. It is not so. You cannot. When one has that kind of mindset, you know that there is no love, no ahava for Yah. If any man says he ahava, he loves Yah, and keeps not the mitzvah, the commands, the orders of Yah, Yah tells us that that one is a liar. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you think. He is a flat out liar. That is a perverted one. Full of every kind of deceitful wickedness of hell that is imaginable. One cannot love Yah. One cannot have the purity of his Ahava and do not do what he commands one to do. You cannot. In everything that is written in the scroll of the book, it is a direct command from Almighty Yah. And when he tells us to esteem him, he means what he says. Now you can sit here all lethargic, and your damnable wickedness is going to damn you into hell. When Yah commands you to do it, he means for you to do it. You sit here in your rebellious wickedness. That's why we can't walk in the health and the wealth of Yah. That's why we are dismal people. That's why we are downtrodden. That's why there is no character of the people of Yahweh. Even the world established character. They do in their whorehouses. They command you to do walk a certain fashion. They command you to do that. They command you to buy their truths. And you must do it literally. Not only with your finance, but with your being as well. This is a vile generation. And the people of Israel, the people of Yah, they're more dismal than the world. The people of the wicked of this generation, they're more wiser than the people of Yah. They're wiser to do evil than you are to do what is right. And what Yah commands us, they're not difficult things. It is a defiance of Almighty Yah and a rebellious, wicked, unhealthy house. You sit before Yah callous. Hallelujah. Even if you go to the world, I don't care what they look like, the fattest of men, the fattest of women, they will get up in the whorehouses and they will dance. I don't care how they are reserved in their expressions. When they get a little spirit in them, they will shout their voices to the ceilings. And we say we have the Ru'ah of Yah, you are a liar. And the truth is not in you. You're false and you fabricate a lie in your imagination and you perpetuate that false lie. But He's going to rain down His wrath upon a rebellious and a wicked generation. Do you understand why you stumble so much? Do you understand why you fall? Do you know why you stumble at the word of Yah? I want to show you that today out of the book. I will show you why you stumble at what Yah commands you to do. I will show you why you fall or you falter at what Yah commands you to do. Now you can deceive your own corrupt, wicked mind and think that this is not the sword of Yah to cut in the fat of your heart, which is full of wickedness. You are a deceived hypocrite. And that is the truth. We're not going to live Pollyanna before Yah. You're not going to establish your tradition and your ways that supersede the Torah of Yah. He is not a part of this damnable pantheon of gods. If He is a God, then He is no more than a part of a God family. He is not a part of this damnable pantheon of gods. He is the Most High. There is none like Him. He shares His honor, His tefillah, with no other. He will not share His power, His beauty with some damnable god. You understand, this is what Israel did when they went to the altars of their Balaam, their lords, their gods. They all required a different reaction. There's only one reaction that Yah requires. And if I tell you, will you believe it? He requires that you love Him with all of your love, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And don't tell me that we love Him that way when we come into His piety and our responses unto Him are dismal. You are a damnable liar. You don't even know Him. I know greater is the power in me than the self-driven wheel of my flesh. I know the power that is in me. It is greater, much more substantial, much more profound than the power of my flesh. I know that. What do you know? What, my mind, the way my mind has been shaping, the way my love, the strength of my being, the way it's been shaping, it is greater than the subtleties and the seduction of my own flesh. I will not allow that to reduce me to a beastly thing. Even the beasts of the fields know the bidding of Yah. And this foolish generation, taken by trivial, it's an ignorant generation that has no desire of Yah. It's one of frivolity and folly and laughter. It's not one that the countenance is sober and serious. It's one of folly. It's one of stupidity. There's a reason that you stumble. When a man stumbles, he falls away. And you fall away from what Yah commands you. There's a reason. And Scripture must answer that for us. There's a reason when Yah instructs you, you fall away from that. There's a reason that you cannot retain in your Ru'ah what Yah speaks, and you cannot contain it. You cannot contain it. Your flesh will not allow you to contain it. When something is contained, it has the power to affect all things. And so it's not contained in your mind. Don't go to sleep in Yah's house. It is not contained in your mind. So you don't know how to react or to respond by the power of that which is retained in us. We do retain folly, don't we? That's why you respond foolishly before Yah. You retain hatred and juvenileness, don't you? And that's why you respond the way you do before Almighty Yah. There's a reason that you are you're falling, you're stumbling. You're stumbling, there's a reason. I want to read this. A few things I want to bring to point today. Whether you hear me or not, it makes no difference. Yisrael will hear. Only Yisrael will hear. Hallelujah. And those that are the tares and the outcasts, they will never hear what Yah says. I'm not trying to amass a following. I speak unto Yisrael. I'm not trying to store or hoard tens of thousands of dollars. I'm trying to buy the wealth of Yah's truth, that I may have the wherewithal to stand in this hour. This is a generation that is so ignorant and stupid. Can I tell you, it's in yesterday's paper, you that read it. There's this slut in America. Her name is what? Victoria Beckman. This Jezebel, this superficial child of hell. I will show you how the world has trained the minds of the masses. She walks around with this new book, and they simply got a picture of her with a book in her hand. And the title of the book, quote, I will enunciate the title of the book, quote, skinny bitch, unquote. And the sale of that book soared 674% overnight because this dog of hell, because the minds of this generation, they are trained. That's what they are. That's why they buy. That's why they buy those things that pertain to them. And Yah tells you you're full of folly. You don't buy that. He tells you you're wicked, you're callous, and you still don't buy it. Why are we stumbling? Why are we faltering at what Yah commands us? Why, when He instructs us, there's such difficulty in our minds to obey it? Why is it that our love, our heart cannot retain it? We cannot retain what was spoken unto us Wednesday, Scripture Truth. And Yah forbid you can retain what Deacon Biddy spoke on last Shabbat. But there are things that you do retain because it is an expression of your character and your attitude daily. And what you retain is expressed in you. It is displayed in your daily walk, everything you do. Whatever is retained in you, it is expressed in your daily character, your attitude, your expression. That's why we cannot retain the things of Yah. And there's a simple reason why. But you will not apply this to you. You will not think it's you. That's what a coward does. It's very easily to put it on someone else. I despise that in men. They cannot accept responsibility and say, well, I made a mistake, or I am the one responsible. I love responsibility. I do not shun at it. Let the weight fall on me. I hate a coward spirit like that. Did Hamashiach shun responsibility? He said His weight is easy and His yoke is easy and His burden is light. This is a cowardice generation. They think that the word of Yah is too heavy. And you get heavy. You get all heavy down. Lift up your hands. Come on. Sing with some robustness. You sing like deadheads. Come on, you brothers up, and you pray with some enthusiasm. Don't worry about how the choruses of the songs go. You don't have to sing them like that. Look at the wickedness, no correction. You don't want Yah to show you your faults. What a stupid generation. But an ignorant generation. Those that follow Miss Beckman, they went out and bought the book simply on her response. Of course, that's what they are. Quote, they're bitches, unquote. Hallelujah. That's what they are. That's why they buy it. You understand? I'm a son of Yah. That's why I buy the truth and I don't sell it. I don't sell it because of the enmity of my damnable flesh. I don't sell the truth of Yah because of my emotions. I don't sell the truth because of a wife. I don't sell the truth because of sons and daughters. I will not sell the truth because of you. I will stand with him. I'm set to defend Yeshua because that is the whole stay of bread that you will need to overcome. And don't tell me you love him when you cannot do what he commands you. You're a damnable hypocrite. I don't care if it's your wife, your husband, your son, daughter, it makes no difference. Your mama, grandmama. We want people to prophesy lies unto us. Speak lies and sue things. That never confront the very issue that is in you. And this is your own defiance of Yah. I want to read this in Kephah, first Kephah Peter. And I want to establish this reason why Israel and you are stumbling today. It's either the truth or Kephah. He spoke like the false one that lied to the prophet. That went and said unto Jeroboam, Yah is going to bring this house to hell. And he warned the Nabi not to eat, not to drink. Don't even have any fellowship in that city. He gave a profound sign by the Nabi's hands. As he laid his hand to the altar, it became this withered, dry thing. And he said to the Nabi, pray unto Yah, your Abba, the Most High, that he restore my hand. Can I ask you a question? Did it cause him to turn from his wickedness? No, it did not. He did more wicked than what he did before. And that's the way this generation is. We were some withered pieces of trash, full of sin and whoredom, baby out of both draw leg, or whore above whore, a dog above dogs. And Yah extended his right hand, the promise of Yeshua unto you, and yet you go back to the same damnable dog trash every single day. There's a reason you're stumbling. The old prophet lied to the prophet and said, a Malak spoke to me and said, come back. The word to that Nabi came from Yah. Every word that Yah spoke unto him, he made it known by signs that this is me. This is me. And he disobeyed Yah. And he died, didn't he? That's why you are dying. That's why. Can you tell a dead person from one that is alive? I look at the horrendous attributes of your expression, you're dead. And it's your sins, your transgressing of the Torah. You defy Yah. You do not love Yah. There is no hava for the Torah of Yah. When sin is finished, when the course of sin has run its course, when you have allowed sin to play out in your inward parts, there's only one thing it brings forth, and it brings forth death. And that death is a separation of Yah. There's a gulf there. Your mind is not intrigued by what Yah speaks. Your love is not lifted up. There is no spontaneous, robust reaction to the word of Yah. When Yah tells you to praise him, there is no crescendo of praises and no attitude of praises. You are a damnable, wicked mindset that is corrupt by hell because of your flesh. It is not someone else. And the thing that caused you to stumble, it has not come from someone else. It has come from the depths of your own damnable wickedness. You can blame all you want to, but it's not going to pan out with you. You can give reason and say, because of you, this is why I'm this way. Lies from hell. There's a reason why you're stumbling. Reason why you can't stand up in the truth. There's a reason why you don't have the strength of HaMashiach. Against all the wiles of hell he stood. For he was the living word of Yah. When the word of Yah lives in Israel, all hell can rage. The powers that be can rise up against Israel. I don't care what demonic force comes against Israel. With the life of his Torah and the people, they will prevail. They will overcome every power of hell, every opposition. He did not name Jacob Israel for just any reason. He said, for thou hast prevailed against your own wickedness, against all your own surmising and your damnable ways. He said, I will not turn you loose until I get a word. He had to get a word from you. Hallelujah. And we are stumbling. We are falling in the mire of sin. We are weak. We have no strength in our inward parts. We have nothing to fortify us. And there's only one reason. Well, Pastor Robbins, you're not speaking the truth. Lies from hell. Hallelujah. I feed you with the whole stay of bread. Most of you all don't like whole wheat bread anyway. You rather have something that has some additives, don't you? Come on here, people. Don't talk to me in your hypocrisy. Most of you rather have white bread or something that has honey, but the whole stay of bread, the whole wheat, the whole bread. Will it constipate me? No, honey, when you eat this right, it will cleanse you out. It will cause your bowels to move right. And when you eat this whole stay of bread, it will clean you out. You are constipated because you're not eating the whole stay of bread. Hallelujah. You want to nibble on the crust because you like the crusty part, but you got to eat the whole stay of bread. This generation want to eat what it perceives as palatable for them and tastes well. But you must eat the whole stay. And what Hamashiach spoke unto us, he did not capitulate from the word of Yah, for he is the living word of Yah. And for you to reject that, then you are full of hell and wickedness. Careful, says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. He says unto Israel, wherefore? Also it is contained, is written in the Kephah, in scripture, in the scroll. Yah says, I want you to see. I want you to understand. Behold, I lay into Zion a chief cornerstone. Now this cornerstone, he is elect. It is precious. Is Yahshua precious unto us? Come on, if Yahshua is precious unto us, there is no way you can stand in the presence when he serenade, he enter into the bride of Yah to make sure that his name, the name of his Abba is there, and you not greet him, you're full of damnable wickedness. He said, don't you understand that he is elected of me? He is precious. This damnable generation, you find something precious, you see the baby go, and you are drawn by that. It is right too. You see a little child smile in their sleep, a little certain reaction. You think that that is so wonderful, that's precious. It is the truth. And what Yah says to us is not. Instead of your mind being on Yah, it's on some trivial folly. I'm not here, and I don't care whether you like me, whether you appreciate me. It makes no difference at all. I'm not here for popularity contests. And to be popular, I'm here to esteem my Abba. Lift up Yah. That's what I'm here for. Hallelujah. You don't realize your actions, what you do, what it imparts into your own children. I want to read something on that too. You're not dealing with some charlatan here. You're not dealing with some drop shot either. You're not. You're not dealing with someone that's going to appease you and that will not reprove you. Because I will. You train your sons and your daughters to sit. You don't give them water and all this in the morning. Just train them. They will be all right. My grandparent did that with us. Now, I don't care if your parents get upset. It doesn't make any difference at all. The world does it all the time. A little girl going to ballerina class, she can't sing when she get on her little tights and all that. And they start them at that age. And she began to dance. She had danced 2 hours. They would practice 2 hours. Before they practice an hour, get a little break, 2 or 3 minutes, and they sit there and talk with each other. And then they go back and do the same thing. You see, the people of this generation of the world, they're wiser than you. You don't train your mind to the things of Yah. You don't train your body. You don't train your mind to be controlled by the word of Yah. Therefore says, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Kizayat a chief corner stone, elect. It is precious. And he that believe on him shall not be confound. He that truly believe on Yahshua shall not be ashamed. The spiritual mind shall not be contorted. They will not be confounded. They will not be ashamed of him. The minds will not be ashamed to illuminate the power of Yah. They will not change the expression of this corner, this precious stone that they build their lives upon. Our lives must be built upon the word of Yah. Now you notice he said, he that believe on the power of Yahshua shall not be confounded. Now this is the generation that know of, but it does not believe on. It does not believe on. That's why it's confounded. It is a confused, it is a bewildered generation. It is the shame of him as well. He said, the one that believes on him shall not be confounded. Why? To you therefore which believe, he is precious. Now, I don't care what you say, if you believe he is precious. To you therefore that believe, Yahshua is precious. To you that believe, Yahshua is precious. To those that believe at trust Yah, Yahshua is precious. The reason he's not, now is he precious? Is he talking about the cornerstone? Yahshua, is he not the cornerstone? Then if he's precious, then why we don't do what he commands us? He's not precious to you. If he's precious, you will do what he commands us. The step of a generation. Deacon Horn brought it out the last time he preached last Wednesday. He emphatically expressed unto us, I will serve Yah despite my wife, my mother, brothers. I will do what Yah commands us. What he commanded me, I will do it. What Yahshua is precious to you, you will do what he commands you. You will obey him. No, he is not precious to you. He is not precious to you. That's why you can go the way of Cain. You can sell the truth for filthy lucre. You can destroy the very cornerstone of Yah for your own self-gratification. And those that believe Yahshua is precious, and you gravitate to what he commands you, what he says to you, you love it. You know it's not a burden. You know it's not a weight. You know it will not impede you. You know that. And so there's a great ahava, there's a great strength, there's a great love for what he commands you. This generation doesn't know Yahshua. He's not precious unto them. They know their pagan damnable gods and their pagan idols, but they don't know Yahshua. He came in the name of his Abba. He did not come in the name of Jesus or anything else, but in the name of Yahweh. And he kept Israel, and he is going to keep Israel and the power of his Abba's name. And when the work is finished, and all things are submitted unto Yah, even he himself will submit under the authority and surrender all unto Yah. He did not come to establish it in righteousness. He came to establish the power of Torah. Torah teaches us everything. How to live. Quote, I don't need a book. And any woman that buys something that a Jezebel promotes, you're sick. You're twisted in your wicked mind. The Torah teaches every person. If you want to lose weight, you want to be healthy, you eat like the Torah. What has destroyed us, our own lust, our greed, it's not controlled by the word of Yah. We want to get our minds healthy, our bodies. We eat like the Torah commands us. Don't be gluttonous and greedy. Eat like the Torah. That's all you have to do. You want a healthy body, eat like the Torah tells you. You want a healthy body, woman, do what the Torah, labor and work and get off your lazy ass. Those are choice superlatives. I intend for them to be choice. If Victoria Beckman can get by with reading a book, quote, skinny bitch, unquote, that's what it says. You can muddle at that. Say, don't say that. But it is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. That's what's going to make you healthy. That's what's going to shape your waistline and your mind line. Same thing with you, man. No different. Hallelujah. We want someone to sugarcoat things and serenade us. That's why your sons and daughters in these schools, they're making them hogs and pigs. I don't care what you say. I received a letter from a precious man. He sent me pictures. He has 7 children. They're all grown. His wife left him. He raised the children by himself. But he said this in the letter today. I looked at his picture. Very pleasant man. His children, you can't see a discipline upon them. But this is one thing he said to me that just really expressed the corruption of this way. He said, if there's one thing I did wrong in raising them, I put them in public school. He said, they are respectful kids. He said, but they've messed my children up. They've destroyed them. That's what he said. These witches and warlords training your child. How can they train them in the way of Yah? Yah tells you parents to train them. Because the world has brought you under the bondage of slavery. Mama working, daddy working, second job, third job, lying, trying to buy. He tells you to buy one thing, buy the truth. Selling out understanding and wisdom. Buy that. Hallelujah. And my life could do nothing but go out to the man. As I saw his picture, you can tell he's a very humble man. I look at his daughters, his sons. You can tell there's something there, but they're missing something. This generation is missing it. That's why we are stumbling. That's why we fall all the time. That's why we have no strength. That's why we have no character. That's why we have no love for Yah. That's why there's no burning passion for Yah. That's why Yahshua is not precious to us. We will say to hell with what he says. We will bypass what Yahshua says and establish our own self-righteousness. That's wrong, brothers and sisters. You cannot do that. The scripture tells you what to do. It commands you. And you defy that, you're wrong. You're in trouble with Yah. I don't care who you are. I don't care how you feel toward me. I want a strong man standing before me. I don't want a weak, cowardly man. I want the brothers stand up and speak with virtue and strength, not regarding any man, but the man that has imparted the strength in them. He is precious. Look at this. But to those that are obedient, but to those that are what? But to those that are what? Come on, everyone has said, but to those that are what? The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, Rosh Pinah, the corner. And a stone of stumbling, he is a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at what? At what? At the bata, at the word, why? Why? Be it what? Be it what? Be it disobedient. That's why we are stumbling. That's why we are faltering. That's why we are falling. Because we are disobedient. Even to those that stumble at the word, being disobedient. This is a generation that is disobedient unto Almighty Yah. It defies what he commands. And I want to tell you, it is birthed in the seed of their seed. Is not the word of Yah the seed? Is it not the seed that produces the life and the power of Yahshua in us? And so is it a written word? Is not that same written word a spoken word? Has he not written that in Israel? So it is with our words when we speak unto our little ones. As we raise them and we nurture them, we either sow the seed of obedience or the seed of disobedience. You can look at it, it's not someone's fault. I will show you, I will read something. It's one thing that Mishli, the first five chapters of Mishli Proverbs, it talks to the son to obey your Aima, and here to the Torah of your Avad, doesn't it? It teaches. And it tells him when he goes away from that, there's a strange whore that sits in the twilights. She sees that he is, first of all, he's a cool man, wise. She sees that he's simple. And he knows nothing. She knows that he's a dumb head. He's a dumb, ignorant man. Can I tell you this? I certainly appreciate the Ru'ah of Brother Ricky. He said, Pastor Robinson, I can call you every day. And the man is a laborious man. He's laboring down there. He says to me the other day when he calls, he said, Pastor Robert, there should have been more in this assembly when you came. And so even the things that Yaz even embarked the man's left to work upon. He would have been here this weekend, but he had to fly to Miami and to take care of that assembly. I said, I understand, my brother, you do that. But he said this to me. He said, Pastor Robert, he said, I went to school for one thing, to play football. Now, this man played Division I football. He played for Colorado State. He played against the Oklahomas, the Nebraskas, the Texas. He said, I was dumb. I could not read or write. And the only thing that gave me some balance of any knowledge was the book, the Torah. That's how I learned. Y'all taught me how to read and write. He said, I went to school for one thing. Now, this man came from a family of educators. His mother was a high school, she was a school teacher. He said, I could not read, I could not write. He said, I had no vocabulary. You could never tell that, could you? No, you cannot. The position that that man holds in his corporation, you could never tell that. You can never tell. You see, when a man delights in the things of Yah, he will enhance that man. He says to me, he says, Pastor Roberts, we're near the same age. But it's like light years in what you understand and what you know. Why must I try to duplicate that? I will take that and utilize it for the people of Yah and spread this because it is the truth. We don't need to duplicate it. We just take this and utilize it for the kingdom work of Almighty Yah. When he said that, it did something in the inward part that shows me the humbleness of this man. He is very sincere because the word of Yah is precious to him. I said to my brother, I said, Brother Ricky, he said, I want to be sincere. I said, my brother, you delight in the things of Yah. You cannot do these things unless Yah put them in you. Because if you were not doing these things, you will be opposed to him. You'll be fighting against the kingdom work. And it's because you delight in his truth. Even though it cuts, it unravels your little world. It brings down your little idols, your little strongholds. And it establishes the power of the cornerstone, Yeshua, in your life. And the word of Yah become precious. More precious than food. More precious than anything the world has to offer. You can't get a strong building without a cornerstone. I don't care what you do. You need the cornerstone. Take the cornerstone out and see what happens. I don't care how you got it refortified. You need the cornerstone. And when you look at a building that has no cornerstone, it doesn't look complete. That's why we're not a complete people. We stumble at the word of Yah because we're disobedient. Because we are rebellious. We are hard-headed people. We are in Mara. That's what this is, a Mara. We defy Yah. We will not adhere to what he says. We will not obey. Deacon Horn preached us some time ago, if we be willing and obedient, that we shall eat the tub, we shall eat the riches of the land. We shall look rich. A rich man looks different than a poor man, doesn't he? Sure he does. I don't care what you say. When a man is rich, he looks different. His skin, the robustness of his expression, the life in him is different. Why? Because he got money. Money answers all things. And we know that Yah owns the world, the earth, the hills, the cattle upon thousands of hills belong to him. And we know he is able, he is the only one that is able to give us wealth and health. And our wealth comes from Yah and our health comes from Yah. Not what this polluted world offers. We're not seeking that wealth. I'm not seeking that kind of a wealth. I'm seeking the wealth of Almighty Yah. That my mind is renewed every day. My ruah is robust. My spirit is full of life. There is an anticipation of the visitation of Yah. What is man that Yah is mindful of him? And the son of man that he visit him every day. I want Yah to visit this Ben Adam. That when I wake up in the morning, the liveliness and the power of his word illuminates in my mind. It strengthens me. It carries me during the day. It is the thing that my mind is focused on. My desire is based upon what the word of Yah commands and what it dictates. That I will not stumble at the promises of Almighty Yah. I know I'm going to leave this world physically. I'm going to die. But I don't want to stumble at the promises. For my tikva, my hope is built upon the promises. That's why Yahshua is precious to me. That's why when I hear that name, it does something in me. Yes, it does. When you hear the name, it calls you to stumble. cause you to become muted, because you not to rise up. But I will rise up, and I will sing praises to His name. I will tota, I will tota ya for Yahshua. I will sing praises because He tells me to do that. To sing melodies in my life. He tells me to sing. And I will do it to hell with what the world and the ones that stumble. You stumble because you're hard-headed. You're stubborn as hell. You're disobedient. Well, Pastor Roberts, I've been under you and you've caused me. No, you're a liar. It's been in you since birth. The wicked go astray from birth because you've defied the Torah. You've not adhered to it. When the birth of the life of Yahshua comes to you, you go astray from it. You turn from it. You go to another path. You will not allow the power of that birth to enter into your bosom, and that the living Torah will rise up in you, that you can obey Yah in all things. So don't tell me it's that. Don't tell me it's that. It's your own wickedness. I intended to preach very solid today, really, to talk like this. But when the fire gets the journey, I can't do it. When the fire began to kindle, I cannot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I will declare the counsel, the whole counsel of Yah. You're not stumbling because of that brother. You're not stumbling because of that sister. You are stumbling because you're disobedient. You are mara. You are hard-headed. You rebel against Yah. You are rebellious. And once you began to operate in that, then the witchcraft spirit began to permeate your mind. And I will show you what it will produce. I will show you what kind of attitude it will shape. Don't tell me if you can't discern attitudes of one another, you are dismal. You are wicked as hell. When Deacon Horn tells that little child to do something, that little child responds a certain way. He knows what kind of attitude is in her, and he corrects that. And so don't tell me no one can discern your damnable, wicked, childish attitude, because it is discerned. We don't want no one to tell us our attitude is bad, to tell us we're not walking right. Well, what's your problem? I have no problem. Yes, you do. You got a problem. That's why I cannot mature in the things of Yah. Because it's not willing to confess. It's not willing to confess where it's me. I got a problem. Help me. It's a generational pride. That's what it is. He says, being disobedient, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal office of the Kohen of Yah, a Kadosh nation, a peculiar people that should show forth what? Come on, show forth what? Show forth what? Now, that's what it says. Is this in the book? Something is wrong then if you don't show forth that. We are peculiar people. Don't tell me, brother, you with your lethargic wickedness. Don't tell me, wife, with your coolness. It is the truth. Don't tell me your situation. You have no situation. We are peculiar people. We are a Kadosh nation. We are priestly people, that we should show forth praises. Tefillat. Tefillat. We shall show forth a crescendo of praises. A volume praise. We shall show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of what? You know why you can't do that? Because you're an unappreciative Jezebel. Who have called you out of darkness into what is what? That Yahshua may shine, shine on me, HaMashiach. Let the light of Hashemayim, let the brightness of Yahshua shine on me. You should show forth the praises unto Yah that He has called you by the power and revelation of Yahshua and the light and the presence of Yah, that all of your sins and your spots may be revealed. Shabbat is not something you come in here singing some deadhead songs. It is the time that we show forth the praises. The tefillat of Yah. Knowing that He has called you out of darkness. In your whoredom, your lies and your sin, knowing He's called you out of that. That He brought you to stand in the light of HaMashiach. So don't tell me it's just the time we come here. And we pander around. Don't tell me it's the time we come and to be stubborn. He says, which in time past, you were not even a people. You were castaways, wicked. He said, but are now the people of Yah. He said, you know you're the people of Yah, which had not attained mercy, but now His mercies are renewed every day. He said, you have attained the mercies of Yah, but now you have established simply to be merciful unto us. Although we are disobedient, we're rebellious, we stumble, and now He show His mercy. He said, now you have attained mercies of Yah. This is no plaything. You can pray all you want, it's to your own detriment. You can try to skirt around, Yah. It's to your own death. You see, that's what the prophet did, the Nabi did. He had his pissing instructions by Yah. He says, you go and you tell Jeroboam. You tell him what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. He said, you go tell him. And you warn him. And he went. And he warned him. He told him what Yah was going to do. He told him what Yah instructed him. And because he became disobedient, he did. We love the spirit of liars. That's why we gravitate to lies. I'll show you in the book. Hallelujah. You love lies and folly. You don't love truth. You that have that spirit of lying, you don't realize the detriment you bring upon your own being. You don't realize the hell that you allow to be leashed in your mind. You don't realize it. You're a fool. You that will not speak the truth in all Sadiqah, that lie for pleasure, you are a sick creature of hell. And I'm warning you today, you're going to pay the price that you cannot pay. Speak the truth to all men. Don't lie. I was talking with a brother, and I said, you know, if someone says to me it was 75, I would say, you know, Elder Martin said it was 60, 75, 80. What are those numbers? But I will not try to fabricate it. When you allow yourself just to have a little scintillal, just a little levity, it will cause lying to corrupt you in every way it is. And so Yah shook the spirit of lying by the old prophet. Because he wasn't used, he wanted to make himself more valuable. And he said to the prophet, even when he said, I want to read this a couple of verses. It says in the book, in 1 Kings, in verse 1. And behold, there came a man of Yah out of Yada, by the word of Yah, unto Bethel, unto Jeroboam. And he stood by the altar to burn incense. Now he was not burning incense unto Yah, Melechim. 1 Kings chapter 13. And so Yah sent the man with the word in his loins. And I speak to you the word of Yah today. In the power of Yahshua the Lamb, because he is precious. Yahweh has no significance without the profound power and the witness of Yahshua. That is the truth. He had no significance unto Israel. His Torah was not alive in them. And now he sent unto us a living word that dwells in Israel. It is in the bosom of Israel. That's why Yahshua is precious to me. That's why he has called me out of darkness. And I stand in the light of Yahshua. When he sees me, I want him to see the power of Yahshua in me. I don't want him to see the strength of David. I want him to see the strength of Yahshua. Because he overcame. He prevailed. No weapon formed against him overcame him. He withstood the powers of hell. He resisted Shatan. And he brought him under the authority of Almighty Yah. And that was the power of his word. He said, I don't live by bread alone, but I live by every decree, every command, every Torah delight that Yah has spoken unto me. I am the power of that. That's what I live by. I don't live by some presupposed idea. I live by what the Torah says. So he says the old Nabi, he says to Jeroboam, he commanded him, Yah sent him, and he said in verse 3, I'm going to skip some verses for expedience. You read the whole book. Whole chapter. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and it shall be torn in pieces. And the ashes thereof upon shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of Yah, which had cried out against the altar in Bethel. Do you understand what Bethany, Bethel, Bethany? It is the bayat of Yah. It's the dwelling place of Yah. The house of Yah. And in the house of Yah, there should not be any incense burned, but the sweet savor and smell of Yahshua that flowed from us. What is this damnable odor that flows from Israel? It's full of stench, it's vile, it's impugnant, it makes you want to puke. You gag at it, you look at it, and you can see what flowing from each individual. I'm a spiritual man, and I'm going to judge the house of Israel, because I am a part of the bride of Israel. I want to make it into the kingdom. What a travesty that I preach like this, and then I'll be a castaway. I don't want that. I mean what I say. I believe what I preach. I believe it that I lay everything on it. What? I possess nothing but my being. Evangelist Horn would tell us all the time, I've never seen a U-Haul following the hearse on the grave site. They cannot take it anyway. Naked, I came into this world. I did not come with a cloak, but I have a cloak of Sadiqah now. Yahshua is that cloak of righteousness. It is not my ability to do what Torah says. It is the life in me that gives joy in doing what Torah says, and that is Yahshua. So He is my cloak of covering. He is my cloak. He is my cloak of Sadiqah. He is the one that cloaks me. But I'm frail and have no strength. He is my strength. He is the one that resurrects me from the dungeons of darkness and from my own feebleness. That's why He's precious to me. Not because He can give me a pair of shoes. The sparrows, their bread is taken care of. The oxen of the fields, nowhere to roam. Am I not more precious than that to Him? And He gives me the oxen to consume and the sparrows to eat. Is He not precious unto me? I will not disallow what He says. I will not say it's not valuable. What He says is most important. What He says is what Yah commands. He cried out against the altar Bethel, that He put forth His hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him, and His hand which He put forth against him dried up. His hand dried up. So that He could not pull it against Him. That's what we like to do, don't we? We like to lay hand on the man of Yah because He speaks to our sins. Because He uproots us in our wickedness. Well, what do you say? Well, so what we like to do is say, well, you did this and you did that. Well, what about that? What about this? What about that? What about them? Damnable generation. Oh, Pastor Roberts doesn't see himself. He doesn't see how he talks to the people. I tell you what the word of Yah says. Yah's austere. He's not going to answer you with some kind of little soothing response. When Yah speaks to you, He calls you to tremble. He wants His yirah. He wants His fear to permeate. He wants His reverence to fill your lev. Well, that doesn't make me serve Him. I'll tell you one thing, you damnable hypocrite. And I will not stop using those superlatives. It's one thing that when Yahweh sent the Shoftims and the Nabi to Israel, like He did with Moshe, with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, trying to lay hands on Moses, on Moshe, He caused fear to permeate, didn't He? Did they not bow down and worship Him? When He showed His wrath upon this wicked nation, that's why, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, you have not experienced the true teshuvah of Yah. He's going to pour His wrath down upon a wicked, adulterous, damnable, wicked generation of nations that defy His Torah, that gives no honor to His name. They're following the frivolity, the Shabbat. They fill it with their decadence of sin, their wickedness, their lifestyles, and you participate in their damnable ways. I want to hear about the things of Yah. Some of you hypocrites want to find out what others are doing out there. You need to find out what you're doing. You're walking shallow. You're walking wickedly. You need to get your heart right. I don't want nobody keeping me informed what the wicked are doing. I don't care what no one out there is doing. Don't call me with that damnable trash. You that are corrupting your damn mind, you're damnable. And you're going to be damned as well. I don't care what I don't want to hear about what they're doing. Don't tell me in this situation. I don't care. I'm concerned with the house of Israel. I know what they're doing is enough. I don't want to stand firm on what the wicked are doing. The reason you can't, because you're shallow, you're wicked, you got a dying mind. I care what Yah is doing. I care what Yah is doing in my brothers. I care what Yah is doing in my sisters. I care what Brother Rick and those are their battles. I care about Pastor Hunter, his battle. I care for minister out there and down there in Myrtle Beach. What was his name? Do you all remember his name? What was their last name? But they listened to the broadcast. I care about my brothers. I care for the house of Israel. I do care for that. Well, Pastor Roberts, you don't talk to me. I know I don't talk to you, but I still care for the house of Israel. I care for you. I care about your being. I care about your wealth. That's why I speak like this. I know why you're stumbling, because you're disobedient to the word of Yah. I know where your problems are coming from. It's not because you're obeying, because you're not obeying. I know where your miseries are coming from, because you're not obeying Yahweh. I know why HaMashiach is not precious unto you, because you're not obeying the word of Yah. When you obey the word of Yah, when you're not disobedient, he becomes very precious to you. He becomes the chief thing in your life. Hallelujah. It's amazing, as I saw the picture of this brother and his family this morning. You can tell the Yah's kept him in. He's not out there fraternizing with some woman. 51 years old, you can tell that he has not, all those years that his wife left him with the children, he has brought up his children and tried to put a little fear in them. I can honor a man for that. I really can. I really can honor a man like that. I really can. Hallelujah. Train them up in the fear and the nurture of Yah. Bring them up in the way that they should walk. Hallelujah. So he put his hand against the man of Yah, and his hand dried up. That's why many times your minds dry up where you can't hear. Can you tell watered plants from those that are dried? Yeah, look out here in these raised beds out here. I know that these plants are being watered. I go down Highway 151, I look at the corn, and I told her, Yah, I said, because everything, some of that corn looks so luscious, so beautiful coming up. I say, boy, that is going to be some beautiful corn. And I pass by today, it's all burnt up. It's consumed. Now, I'm not talking about that crush they got on Highway 601 in those fields that stay green. They got enough chemicals in there to kill a dog. That's not the real deal. They don't need to get the rain on that stuff. I'm talking about the stuff we plant here, like that heirloom, silver queen and golden queen. These are folks plant that corn, and sun was coming up so beautifully. Then I look at it today, it's just burnt up to a crisp. No life in it. And that's the reason our lives and our minds are burnt up to a crisp, because we lay our hands against the man of Yah. I don't care what you say, you lay your hands against her, because he says something to my daughter when she's a Jezebel, and I tell you she's a Jezebel. Man, I tell you, your wife is rebellious and hard-headed. Her ruah is not right. She doesn't know how to interact and know how to be appeasing to one another. Neither do you, man. I'm not afraid to tell you that. What makes you think I'm afraid to tell you the truth? So they lay their hands against the man of Yah, and they began to dry up. And you can tell old dried up prune from one that is full of life, can't you? Sure you can. Hallelujah. I know that these plants are getting water over here. I know that. And the more water they get, you know what they produce? Fruit. That's what makes them produce fruit, is water. And when you drink the live from the living well, you begin to produce fruit. Don't tell me. I can tell the fruit of meekness and kindness, gentleness, temperance. I can tell a balance in a person. I can look at one and tell them they got balance. I haven't walked past these fruits here and these vines in 2 weeks, but I can look over there and tell that they're getting water. I can look at the sweet potatoes out there, some are not getting enough water because they're burning some. But I can look at these right here that Brother Shand, once or twice a week, I can see the sprinkler. And you can see the robustness, the fullness in the midst of all of this heat. They still thrive. And when one, if they have the living water, this preciousness of this well in them, they will thrive in the midst of battles. I don't care if daddy, mama, sons, daughters, as this man of Yah said, I don't care who turns against them, they will stand in the heat of the battle. They will not succumb to wickedness. They will not give over to the enemy. Don't you know that Deacon Horn brought out to us other night that the spirit of subtlety, now that's a very last wisdom, that's a powerful spirit. How did the spirit of subtlety enter into Eve? Was it by listening to the wicked one? And that's why some of you, that spirit of subtlety has entered into your damned of a wicked heart. That's why you love to hear the evil things and the things that oppose Yah. That's why, because the subtlety of the words have taken place, have taken hold of your heart, and you've maintained them, you retain them. That's why you love trash. That's why you love wickedness. I stand against it all. Hallelujah. So he extended his hand against the man of Yah, and Yah dried up his hands before he could pull it again. The altar was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of Yah had given by the word of Yah. And the king Adonai said unto the man of Yah, intrigue now the face of Yah, your most high one, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. He had to go to the man of Yah. Things have not changed. It was one thing in the days, even though they were ignorant, they would say, go get the preacher. Hallelujah. And they tried to pull from the midst of their life all of the things they have done. You found folks died on their dying bed. They wanted to preach around. And they began to confess their faults and their sins. This is a generation that is so callous. It stumbles because it is so disobedient. It is a disobedient generation. The children are disobedient because the parents are disobedient unto Yah. Yah tells you how to train them, brothers and sisters, how to raise them. You are rebellious and hard-headed. He tells you, Daddy, which law ought to be in your house. And because you are rebellious, your son, your daughters are rebellious, and they defy Yah. Their children meant for hell. They are tares, and in hell they're going to lift their eyes. Well, you never answer the question whether the terror of Yah causes one to repent. It does. When he would rain terror on Israel, they would repent. They would cry, oh, save me, Yah. Deliver me from the crushing blows that you have brought upon our enemies. When the fire, when the earth opened up on Korah, they cried in the innermost parts of the camps, even though they could not see it. 5 million folks, they stretched from here to Charlotte. Do you hear me? Stretch 50 miles. Better than that. But they heard the voice of Moshe when he began to speak. Even the crickets got still. The wind stood still. And Moshe said, if he is the Most High, he says, if he does not do something that is new, that has never been done before, then he is not the one. And those that were in the uttermost heard that. Even the children stopped their playing. Even the children rendered their ears. And all of a sudden, they felt the earth shake. They heard it shake. And men and women began to scream and to run. Those that were spiritual, they stood still to see the salvation of Yah working. They knew that Yahweh's Moshe did not run. Haram did not run. They stood. The elders of the council did not run. And they watched this earthquake, the earth open up. The little arm babies, the old ones, crippled as they stood on the tent doors of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You see, they had cohabitated together. They had put their little tents together so they could whisper one to another. They didn't want to obey the man of Yah. And the earth opened. And they all went down alive into hell. And you could hear the screams from the camps. Fear permeated. Say me, Yah. They fell down and cried out. Repentance. Some shook for hours that could not get up. Oh, I don't believe that the earth opened and closed back up and that was it. I believe it opened and the tremble effects of the tremble. You could feel them throughout the camp. Hallelujah. So he said to the man of Yah, help me. I know you can help me. Because when I reached out my hand, you see his right hand, that's his hand of authority. Yahshua's the right hand of Yah, that's his hand of authority. So he reached out with his authority. I know who I am, like you wicked ones. Well, I'm a man. Well, you can't. I know who I am. I'm a woman. You're Jezebel. You're not a man. For if you were a man, you would know the man of Yah. He just had his authority that was based upon his place as a king. When he extended his hand to the man of Yah, that's where he messed up. You dried him up. That's why some of you are sitting here, you're dried. You are lifeless. And the beauty of HaMashiach shining in the mist doesn't cause you to run to the light. Your darkness has encased your mind. Your continuous disobedience unto Yah. And so when you hear what he speaks, you stumble. You get upset. You get mad.
Hallelujah. I want you to get mad with me. I like that. I say this quote, and I don't say it boastfully or hubris. I am a tenacious man. Still am. I'm tenacious at whatever I do. I am. Hallelujah. As I said, many of the things I do, you can do it. Because it has to, you have to have something to control this. I'm telling you. Tenacious. Very tenacious. I'm just like an attack piece. That's what I am. So I'll attack everything that's against him. Okay, listen, Sister Roberts.
Well, the husbandman must be partaker. You're a husbandman too, are you not? Do you not tend the fruit? We want to just say, because I'm preaching this, well, you better make sure you're doing it right. I'm doing it right. Are we not we're not the husband tree of Yah? Are we not the husband tree of Yah? All right, hypocrites. So you must be partaker. Do you not tend the fruit? That's what a husbandman does. Do we not tend the garden, Deacon Benny, Brother David Lee? Do we pick the okra? Do you know when his time is ready? All right. Are you a partaker of that? She doesn't pick any okra. Is she a partaker? Sure she is. She can eat as much as you eat. Hallelujah. She doesn't go out there and pick okra. She doesn't pick the okra. How many of y'all eat watermelons in here? I know Brother Dale doesn't, but most of you eat watermelons, right? You did not plant one seed. You have not gone out there and harvest one. But you're partakers, are you not? Huh? Are they sweet? Are they sweet to you, Deacon Bennett? They're sweet to me, too. Brother Yosef, are they sweet to you? Yes, they are. You don't go out there and pick them. Are they sweet to you? All right, then. Hallelujah. So you must be partake of this word. You husbandmen. Hallelujah. You got to tend the vineyard. Yet this is the vineyard of the house. Let me move on. So he said, pray to Yah that he will restore me. For I know that only Yah can do this. And I know that. And though only Yah can restore me, if you pray to him. As the scripture says in verse 16, the king answered and said, intrigue now in the face of Yah, that your Abba, that he may pray for me, that he may restore my hand again. And the man of Yah besought Yah, and the king's hand was restored against him, and came as it was before. Look at this now. See, the wicked is always pulling a gift, are they not? That's what they do. That has not changed. And the king said unto him, the man of Yah, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. And the man of Yah said unto the king, if you will give me half of your house, I will not go in with you. Neither will I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of Yah, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, not turn again by the same way that you came. Yah commands us the same thing as Yahshua. Deacon Horn brought that out unto us. If any man will be my disciple, Yahshua, and hate not mama, daddy, son, brother, daughter, even his own life, he cannot. He's a liar. Yah commands us to have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. He commands us. He commands us that we entreat to hear from these dogs to tell us or to inform us what's going on. I know what's going on. No one has to inform me. They're wicked. Man is wicked as hell. The words cannot pollute me. He's going to hell. So I don't care what they're doing. Not my natural brother, kinsman. I don't care what they're doing. I care what Yahshua is doing. In who? Well, in him. When I hear the tongue of Yahshua, when I hear the bountiful blessings of Yah, my inward part shout unto Yah. I shout hallelujah. Yes, I do all during the night, during the day. I shout the Teshua. I'm glad that a wretched thing that was foul in darkness, and he took his right hand, Yahshua, he grabbed me. Come on. I'm a worthless piece of nothing, and I knew that. I take no pride in my skin color, my identity. I take honor, and I boast in the power of my God, Yahshua. Hallelujah. I don't take no honor in nothing else. And we choose a wretched thing like me? Come on. There's nothing special about me. I promote nothing special about me because I'm not special. He is special. He's all to me. He's everything to me. There's nothing special about me. I have no special abilities, no special gifts, no special trait.
My trace is just like any other man. Wicked, repulsive, sinful, imaginable, defiant, disobedient. But there's one thing about the man, the Ben Adam. By one man, sin and condemnation brought. But by the Ben Adam was deliverance unto Israel. It's all because the man. It's all because the man. The man that is in me is greater than this man. Hallelujah. And he excels in the greatness of his Abba. Hallelujah. So the prophet, with this knobby with the great works, you would have thought that he would have been haste to obey Yah. Yah has brought you out of the pit. He has caused the light to shine of HaMashiach, the mighty light. Hallelujah. I can look back on my ways and see how putrefied they were. The tears flow from my eyes to know that he brought me out. He delivered me. He said, you are Israel. He said, you are Israel. You are my nation. I've called Israel. When I understand, when I see that many days, my love gets so overwhelmed. The tears flow in the inward part that I can't help. I can't hold them back because I'm appreciative unto my Abba. He says this, hallelujah. He said, if you give me all you got, I will not do, because Yah has commanded me what to do, and that I will do. It says in verse 11 of the same chapter, now there dwelt an old Nabi in Bethel, and his sons came and told him of the works that the man of Yah had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, they told also to their avat. And their avat said unto them, what way went he? See, the old man didn't have what he used to have. That's the truth. He wanted to find out what way did the Nabi go, because I haven't seen this work in Israel in a long time. And he wanted that in his home. He wanted to touch that blessing, to have the Eshia of Yah. Yah's given us the man that's with us 24/7 every day of his Sakha, and the man of Yahshua HaMashiach. You don't have to lie. You don't have to cheat. You can do all things right. Our promotion doesn't come because we lie or cheat. The promotion comes from Yah. He is the one that promotes you. He is the one that raised you up. You can't promote anyone. We can't promote a deacon. We can't promote a bishop or pastor or prophet. Yah is the one that promotes. And you will know when he promotes a man, because the word will flow from his belly like a fire. Hallelujah. And it will take its course to the depths of the Levim, the hearts of the people of Israel. And it will burn like the Ark of Yah. The fire will burn like the Ark of Yahweh. Hallelujah. And he said unto him, which way he went? For his sons had seen which way the man of Yah had went, which came from Yahuda. And he said unto his sons, saddle me an ass. So they saddled him an ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of Yah, and he found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said unto him, are you the man of Yah that came from Yehuda? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you, nor go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was said to me by the word of Yah as he spoke, you shall not eat no bread. You shall not, brothers and sisters, eat the bread of this world. We need to eat the living bread, Yahshua. You eat the bread that has no life. It's a bread that is filled with maggots and corruption. Nor drink water, because there is no water, there is no well, but Yahshua. Nor turn again to go the way that you came. He said unto him, I am a Nabi also as thou art. That's what men say, I'm a man just like you. I'm a preacher like you. You're not a man like me. You're not a preacher like me. You're just who you are. So he said to the Nabi, I'm a prophet like you. I have the oracles of Yah. I can speak. But no, he was not a Nabi like him, because he sent that Nabi to Jeroboam to defy his wickedness, his sinfulness, the blatant defiance of Torah. It's amazing that the old prophet sitting there all the time, and Yah did not send him. But he caused one to rise up in the Ruah of Yahshua. Hallelujah. He caused him to come from the order of Melchizedek. And he said, you go to Jeroboam, and you tell him what I say. I know you'll do it. Hallelujah. I don't care the slightest act of disobedience. It will cause you to stumble. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that is the truth. That's why the enemy used subtlety. He just, with the slightest act of subtlety, as we heard last Wednesday. You all need to go back and listen to that message. You don't hear well. It caused her to disobey Yah. And when she disobeyed Yah, it brought even the kingdom down. And you are suffering today because of that. And I'm telling you, sons and daughters, you're suffering because we have suffered because of our transgressions of our Avat, our Aima, our mamas and daddies. Whether you believe that or not, that is the truth. Are we suffering because of Adam and Sheva Eve? Are we not? Don't sit there like hypocrites. You know we are. Are you suffering because of your mama, your grandmama, your great-great-grandmama? That's right. Their wickedness. I will show you this in the book. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as you are. And a Malach spoke to me the word of Yah, saying, bring him back with thee in thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water with me. But he lied unto him. That's how some of you all lie, without any conscience of your lies. You imagine vain things. And the reason you imagine vain things is because your mind is empty. There's nothing there. It's empty. They call them empty heads. No airheads in the world. I don't know what the slang jargon today. Your mind is empty because the enemy has filled it with nothing but emptiness. He says, but he lied to him. He lied. Now we'll show you what this dishonesty of lies will do to you. It will cause you to disobey Yah. So he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house, and he drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, the word of Yah came to the Nabi that brought him back. Do you hear that? And he cried unto the man of Yahweh that came from Yahudah, saying, thus saith Yah, for as much as you have marah, disobeyed the mouth of Yahweh, and has not kept all the commandments. Come on, all the mitzvah. Say what it says there. Kept the commandment. He gave him one command. You go and speak to Jeroboam, and you get out of there. Don't eat. Don't drink water. Don't even drink a cup of water in that place. Hallelujah. Yah tells us, as he told the Shulishims, when you go into a house, the Talmud, you go into the house, they receive you, then you say shalom upon this house. You walk in that house, they don't receive the word of Yah, then you don't even, you shake the dust off your feet and do not leave the shalom of Yah. He has not changed. They did not receive the prophet, the Nabi, in that place. Jeroboam, he reached out his hand against him. And Yah did not want his shalom to be left there. Yah has not changed. What Yahshua said is the same yesterday, today, and evermore. It is not a new word. It's just the power of this word refreshed in Israel that they can understand it. But he disobeyed Yah. And Yah caused the lying prophet to speak. He caused the words to come out. He said, but you came back and has eaten bread, and you have drank water in the place of which Yahweh did say to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Did he mean what he said? Did he tell him he could have a cup of water? He told him to drink no water. Did he tell him he could have just a loaf of bread? He said, eat no bread, period. You're eating the bread, but it's not the dainties of Yah. You're eating the dainties of this world. That's why our hearts are covetous and lustful and weak, and we're wicked. That's why we are sickly, spiritually above all, because you're eating the body of the host day of bread of HaMashiach, and your love is not right. And that's why many of you all are dead in here today. Your mind is separated from Yah, your thoughts. He told not to eat bread or water. He said, your carcass shall not come into the sepulchre or the grave of your Avat. And it came to pass, as he was eating the bread, after he had drank the water, that he saddled his ass and he left. And the Nabi whom had brought him back, and when he had gone, a lion met him in the way, and it killed him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. And the lion also stood by the carcass. He didn't kill the ass, for the ass is a delicacy for the lion. Yah sent him there to kill that prophet. And the lion of the tribe of Yahudah, Yahshua,
He has come with the sword of Yah. He is cutting off and destroying everything that is not of Israel. He stands in the gap. If you don't obey all the commands, the mitzvah of Yah, you're going to die. Just like the prophet that disobeyed Yah. He disobeyed Yahweh. And that lion was Yahshua. He's of the lion of the tribe of Yahuda. He came, the prophet came out of Yahuda, and the lion was there to destroy him. If he was hungry, he'd have got the ass. He didn't want the ass. He wanted that one, for he disobeyed Yah. And Yahshua is the one that stands in the straight and the narrow path. You're not going in your lying, corrupt ways. You're not going in your superficiality. You're not going in with your pretense. Hallelujah. And the man passed by and saw the carcass cast away and the lion standing by the carcass. Hallelujah. Why didn't the lion take the ass? And they came and told it in the city where the old Nabi dwelt. And when the Nabi that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, is it not the matter of Yahweh who was what? Disobedient. When Yah tells you to praise Him, you're disobedient. Jezebel's spirit. When Yah tells you to let everything have breath, praise Him, you're Jezebel, you don't do it. Then He tells you again, let everything have breath, praise Me. Then He tells you again, come on, praise Me. Then He tells you again, rejoice in Me. Again, I say rejoice. You wonder why you're dying, there's no life in you? Hallelujah. He disobeyed the command of Yah, the mitzvah. And he died. Yah has not changed. Your minds are dying. Your desire, your thirst for Yah is not alive. He cares for the world. The deceitfulness of the riches of the world. Your friendship is choked out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this not the man of Yah who was disobedient unto the word of Yahweh? Is this not him? Therefore, Yah hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of Yah, which he spoke unto him. Did Yahweh lie? Let every man be a liar, but let Yahweh be truth, brothers and sisters. What he says, he means what he says. What he commands us, he means what he says. And for us to defy him, we're fools. He was disobedient unto Yah. And because he did not obey, he stumbled. Yah had given him the mandate, do what I told you now. I do not believe that he spoke to him one time. I believe that he burned that in that Nabi, that fear caused him the trouble. Do you think that anyone could just have an audience with the king? Can you just get an audience with Mr. Bush? Come on, brothers and sisters. Yet Yah defied the very statutes of the king. And he said the Nabi, he walked right in. Right there, can you imagine the contingents of forces around Jeroboam when he's offered up his Baal offering, and yet the Nabi of Yah walks right up to him. They were confounded, they were befuddled, they cannot abate him, they cannot keep him back, and the Nabi walks right up to him. That alone ought to cause him to tremble. You think if I went to the White House and walked in that horse den and walked in Mr. Bush's bedroom, do you not know that they will send out F-1 fighters and everything? Do you understand that? Do you not realize when they find me there, the contingency of forces that would be there, that they would take the whole city force, they would take secret services and everything? Do you not understand that they will go over their whole protective spears for Mr. Bush? How did he get in? That would be full of them, wouldn't it? You'll recall some years ago that man went into that Jezebel, Queen Elizabeth, and got into the palace in her bedroom instead of the foot of her bed. Some of the most stringent types of surveillance equipment you can find. And yet he got in.
And so this Nabi walks past the forces of the army. And he stood before the king. No telling what he said to him in the complete dialogue. But he said, I come in the name of Almighty Yah. You have defied the authority of the one that had brought Israel out. You shall pay for your wickedness. And Yah sent me here for one thing. And that's to tell me that the kingdom under you has become wicked and vile. And you shall pay in your wickedness of what you have sown, which you have created in Israel. And that's all I come to tell you. For the kingdom shall be rented. It shall come down. And the old Jeroboam say, man, don't you know who I am? And when he, as the old folks would say, when he reached to grab him, the old hand dried up like a prune. That's when you reach out and you lash out against the arm. Well, I'm not disobedient. You're Jezebel, you are. You're mad at Horam. Every word of Yah is pure. Some are every. When a man truly becomes an avadim, a servant of Yah, he loves every word. He loves every word. Therefore, every word of Yah is pure. Therefore, his servants, those that serve him, they love it. That's their refuge. They find comfort in every word. It's almost like someone speaking a favorable word to someone, they can retain every word. And yet when Yah speaks us favorably, we can't retain nothing. But when one is a whisperer or hater, you can retain all that, can't you? When it's a backbite and a liar, you can retain lies. Hallelujah. You don't have to say it, but it's still the truth. Hallelujah. I want to drop down to verse 29. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of Yah, and he laid it upon the ass, and he brought it back. And the old prophet, or the old Nabi, came into the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid the carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, Allah, my brother. It came to pass after he had buried him, he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of Yah is buried. Lay my bones beside his bone. For the sand which he cried by the word of Yah against the altar of Bethel and against all the house of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. When he said Yah is going to rent this, he says, it's going to happen. After this thing, Jeroboam, he did right, didn't he? Return not from his what? See, you don't return from your evil ways after Yah speaks a word like this to you. After all that, he still didn't turn from his evil ways. But made again the lowest of the people priests of the high place. Whosoever would, he consecrated him. And became one of the priests of the Kohen in the high place. And this thing became sin unto the day of Jeroboam, even to cause it to have life, to cut it off. Your sin will cut you off. And to destroy it from where? From the face of the earth. You're not going to get by choosing what you think is appropriate for you to obey. You're not. Every word he speaks unto us, it is from his bosom. And he intends for us to obey it. This is a generation that has this mara. Was this not a true Nabi? Sure he was. Even the old one. But he lied. He lied. Don't sit there like hypocrites. You haven't lied, have you? All right then. All right. The hypocrisy among Yah's people. This is a hypocritical generation. They're not even hot and you're not cold. When you come in here singing for Yah, you'll be hot. All right? I watch those, watch Sister Horn all the time. I don't care how she feels, but still there's a fervor fire there. Your brother's giving the instrument, you play it as unto Yah. I just don't want no movement of keys. You'll hear me singing this song. Come on. Authorate the song. Then. We're here to to honor Him. I'm not here just to sing. I'm here to make melodies unto Yah. And I want them to come from my lap. The world does that all the time. I want the songs to flow from. I want it to have meaning when I sing. I don't want you, brother, just hammering, just playing. Boom, 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 boom. Dead up here before Yah. I don't care what you think. Hallelujah. We offer up an offering that is pleasing unto Him. Can I ask you a question? You think that if someone went in the world, they go to what we call a concert, that those people that get up there on the stages, you think that there is not a robustness in them when they perform? Get it up, come on, come on, come on, come on. Do the people get up? You sit here, you're hypocritical ways. Come on, come on, come on. I remember Brother Al and I, we went down to watch, we went down to that some years ago, that what they call the law conference. And there was a fellow on that organ, he was probably 350 pounds. I was telling Brother Dale one day when that young man was playing this for Brother Patrick. If you had seen that boy play, he said, watch this right here. I just sat back and marveled at him. He played what we call, quote, gospel song, unquote. He said, watch this, watch this. He got on that thing. He said, I got that right. I laid that chord down. Watch this right here. And he said, I laid that down and watch this when I do this. You're not going. People, when they go to a concert, they want their money's worth. Get up, get up, get up. Get up. Boom, 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 boom. Hallelujah. I come into Yah's house with Todah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this is a part of worship. Like this. And if you disobey Yah, He says, praise Him on the timbrels. Praise Him on the psaltery. Praise Him on the guitars. All string instruments. So everything. Hallelujah. The presence of Yah, there ought to be a robustness. That's what it ought to be. When people go to watch the Cleveland Cavaliers play ball, it is not as much as the team as they want to go see LeBron James. When they go to those leagues out there, it's not as much as Colin Ferguson, Garcia. They want to see the Tiger. Those folks who go watch San Francisco, they want them to win, but they want to see Barry Bonds. I want to see Yahshua. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. That's not in the by and by. I want to see Him today. Hallelujah. I want to see my Abba today. And I'm not thinking. That word is now for me. Hallelujah. So you obey. Don't be disobedient. That's why you stumble. That's why your attitudes never develop. That's why your personalities never develop. That's why you look all stunted in your growth. Hallelujah. I defy all of you. Hallelujah. I defy your attitude. That's why you can never come to that maturation of maturity and strength and walk like you're a soldier, a warrior for Yah. Hallelujah. Stretching it out. Told her, my brother, that I will. I want to read this. It says in Nehemiah. This is not for us though, right? This is for someone else. It says in Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 26. I'm sorry, chapter 9 verse 26. You'll read that entire chapter, First Kings 13. I know you're not going to do it, but it's a tremendous wisdom in that book, in that chapter. It says in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26. It says, nevertheless, Israel, the people, were obedient. They were disobedient. They were mara. They were rebellious toward Yah. They were very contentious. When Yah speaks to you, you become very contentious. You become very contentious. You want to fight Him. But they were very disobedient and they what? Rebel. They rebel against Yah. And this is what they did. It says, Shalaka. They cast to throw. They threw it out. And that's what this religious whore has done. She cast, or this whore has cast, your Torah behind their back. Now, I will ask you a question. Is there a Torah of our eating habits? Come on, brothers and sisters.
Is there a Torah how to enter into the tabernacle of the house of Yah? Is there a Torah, a law how to praise Him? Is there a Torah how to bring offerings and sacrifices to Him? Is there a Torah how to sing unto Yah? There's a Torah for everything. The Torah is, that, is simply a law. There's a governing body that governs the actions and the reactions of those that are under the auspices of the commands of Yahweh. Hallelujah. The world will call it protocol. We were down there in Atlanta. They had all these forks and spoons. I say, which one is for the main course? Sister Robert said, just pick up a spoon. It makes sense to me. I did not know. They had a dessert fork, dessert spoon, whatever. Spoon for this and a fork for that, a knife. Looks so beautiful. I got the biggest one. You would not have known either. All right, Todaya. So that's what we call a protocol. That was a Torah. That was a law. To the etiquette of dining. Well, I have no etiquette. I just eat. Hallelujah. And so when it came time for the cheesecake, I don't know if I used the cheesecake fork. I just used the fork. Same what I ate the chicken with. And those Gino beans and the other thing. Same fork. The salad. The same one. But had all these kind of forks and glasses for this. I wanted a piece of bread. And the woman said, no, I will get him some bread. I said, they got a basket right there. I'm taking. She said, no. I think, who was that? Elder Martin one said, here's some bread. She said, no, I will get the bread. Now, I know he wants bread, but I'm not going to allow you to mess up my Torah, my law, my protocol. And she would not. She said, no. She stopped. She was referring to. She said, no. I will get him the bread. I want to do it right. When I set that bread before him, he knows it's right. I don't want you to hand him a basket from over there. Well, say, here's some bread. All I want was a biscuit. Just one. Got some beautiful whole wheat rolls. He said, just give me one. She said, no. Twice she said, no, I will get him the bread. As she started walking around, give me bread. He said, here. She said, no, I will get him the bread. So there's a Torah, there's a law, there's an order. Do you understand? There's an order for everything that God does. He said, they have cast my Torah behind their back. They have killed, they have slew my Nabi, which testify to their wonderful words. See, the Nabi, the true man of Yah, he always testify against you to turn you that you may work the great works of Yah. See, that's what he always does. He always testifies against you. He is not a man of Yah if he doesn't testify against you. That his testimony against you will turn you. Turn you at my reproof, saith Yah. Turn. So that's what the man of Yah does. I don't care if he teaches on love, he preaches on giving, whatever he preaches on, it always turns us. So they have slew, they have killed those that caused them to turn. Why? Because they were disobedient. And when you are disobedient unto Yah, you will do all you can to kill those that will speak unto you to cause your love to turn. You don't want that man to speak unto you. You don't want to hear the words. And the words that he speak unto you, what I tell you today, it is to turn you from your ways that are very malicious ways. They are against Yah. Your ways are not for Yah. So I speak unto you the word of Yah, that you will not be obedient, disobedient, but you will turn from your actions. If you done something this way today, don't do it tomorrow. Turn from that. If your attitude is like this, change your attitude. That's what you do. So true man of Yah will always preach against you. He always. I'm not trying to preach anything that's going to be soothe-stroking to us. I can't make it that way. Hallelujah. I need something to press me out of time. I was talking to Brother Josh Horn yesterday. I said, Brother Josh, that's why I said to the brothers yesterday, we are going to work tomorrow, the one here. You brothers can get a rest. I said to them, your 1:30 stop, but it was hot. Because I went out that Thursday and laid those blocks. I worked until 1:30. It was hot. I had to continuously keep something in me. And I said to Brother Josh, I said, Brother Josh, I said about 1, well about 12, my hand started cramping. And it was doing this.
that thing was dropping all the way down, and that thing was cramping in my elbow. And them blocks are heavy. They're about 50, 60 pounds. You lifting that, you feel that after a while. You understand. A lot of weight I had to lift. But that sun was cooking down. And all of a sudden, it was a nice cool wind. Well, I began to sing. Toreka, for the wind that is blowing. I brought you Yahweh. Oh, the wind feels so nice. And I brought you Yah. I began to pick up my pace. Hallelujah for the wind of Yah. For the breeze seemed so wonderful. And all of a sudden, the sun, the clouds passed, and the sun just boom. Venerable, it shined down. Well, then I realized why the sun and the reason of this heated thing, because it reminds me of my toil and labor in this life. And so my lyrics just changed. I barak you, Yah, for the precious sun that shine, for the heat is warm upon me. But I told Yah for all things, told Yah for the sun, Toreya for the heat that shined, Toreya for the wind that blows. Oh, yes, I did. Of course, that got me through. I'm not dead like you. I'm not humdrum now. You go that way. I'm going this way because I know what it produces. Life, robustness. I want to live. I want to be around. I say to Brother Dale all the time, I say, son, I want to be around. Let me be around you, young brothers. We'll be around a while. Hallelujah. And I know what it's going to take. I do. Yahshua please all. How we are in all things. So I will please you. He tells us to give thanks for all things. So that's what I did. I just simply did it in a song. That's all. Hallelujah. Oh, I thought you'd just do that in the tabernacle. No, I do that all day long. Wherever I go. Whomever I'm around. Makes no difference. They can be dead and all burnt out. And that doesn't make me stop. I'm not going to respond the way you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to come before my Abba. When he gives me that little breath, my other night, it was hot. All of us. In every house. I said to Brother Josh, brother, I didn't go to sleep. He said, Pastor Rob, it was so hot. He said, drink water. It was, I said, son, it was hot. All I could do was say, ouch. I said, it was so hot, I was itching. Now, that's hot, isn't it? I told you after that. Because I think about those that are in Baghdad, the brothers and sisters. It's raining in India. Deacon Bennett said to me, have you heard from Pastor Babu? I said, Deacon, we sent $100 a week 2 weeks ago. But I know the tremendous rains there. Diseases and mosquitoes and they're sick. And here you think it's something, a big pile of dung floating down in front of me. What do you do? You got to walk in the water. There's nowhere to lay your head. And I said to my wife last night, I said, don't you know, honey, that there are people that this weather, that the whole day and night is even like it was during the day. I said, this is a pleasant thing. We got fans. I said, I bless y'all for that. It may be hot. But I said, can you imagine? I said, they die in those countries from dehydration. I said, we got water. They don't even have water to drink. I said, they're dehydrated. And their little bodies are just, they die. I said, I'm not complaining, mama. I can endure this here. For the cool days will come again. I'm not wishing for the cool days. Because when this day expires, that's one day gone. I know I'm closer to death. I don't know about you, but I don't wish for the cool days. I won't be glad when September. I'm glad for August the 10th. I'm glad for this day, 2008. Yeah, I'm glad for this day. I rejoice in this day. I rejoice in this August 8th, 10th. Yeah. No, I don't want October to get away and it's cool. Because my life is, I've lost that much more of my life, all right? So I don't wish like that. Maybe when I was younger. Not now. Hallelujah. So they cast, they were disobedient. And when you're disobedient, brothers and sisters, you will cast the Torah behind you. This generation is disobedient. It casts the Torah behind them. It is not a generation that loves Torah. That's why the whole house is rising up at great power today. They defy the truth of Yah and replacing them with their traditions. This seed is imparted into us from birth, brothers and sisters. We must have a willing. If we are willing and obedient, as we were told some weeks ago, We shall eat the tov of the land. But we must be willing and obedient. And the reason that we are not eating the best of Yah or eating the tov of the land, because we are rebellious people. We are people that have defied Yah. We are not walking in the will of Almighty Yahweh. And we do it deliberately. We disobey Him. I want to read this from Sirach. It has great, profound meaning. Listen to this, Sirach 30, verse 7. It says, because it has the same connotations as Mishli, Proverbs, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6 and 7. It basically deals with the experience with Yah, teaching a young man, a young woman, how to walk circumspectly before Yah. It says in Sirach 37, he who spoils his son will bind up his wounds, and his feelings will be troubled at every cry. Every time the child moves something, he that spoils him, every little cry, he's troubled. Oh, what about this? Okay, baby. Okay, daughter. A horse that is untamed turns out to be stubborn. So when you don't tame them, bring them up in the fear of Yah, they turn out to be disobedient. They turn out to be stubborn. And a son unrestrained turn out to be willful. That's what he wants to. She goes the way she wants to. Well, daddy, why I have to do this? Because I said you do it. But a child that is untrained turns out to be willful. You can say what you want to. This is the true analogy of life. It says, pamper a child and he will frighten you. Pamper it. Just go ahead. Don't correct them. Yah corrects his children, does he not? Every son that they receive, does he correct them? Yes, he does. He says, play with him, and he will give you grief. Do not laugh with him, lest you have sorrows with him, and at the end, you will gnash your teeth. What in the did I create? Because you pandered with them, you pampered them. You know, Brother Ricky said to me, he said, you know, Pastor Roberts, when I come home, he's the man worry about his children. And I understand what his worry is. It's not he is concerned actually what he is. Because he knows what's out there. This man makes a lot of money. He said to me other night, and there was when we were in Atlanta, and there was a young man that was a private detective in Atlanta. Beautiful young man. He said, Pastor Roberts, this city of Atlanta, it is one of the most corrupt and wicked places you want to live. He said, I was a police officer. I was a deputy sheriff. He said, I couldn't. He said, one day in the morning briefing, I said that the criminals ought to be on the street and the police officers should be in jail because they're more corrupt than the criminals. He said, I knew when I said that my career was over with. He said, I knew that. And Brother Ricky said, Pastor Rob, this place is so corrupt. It's vile. That's a stench. He said, everyone, the politicians, the sheriffs, the police officers, he said, it is just corrupt. Everyone, everywhere you go, you got to grease someone's hands, pay everything. And so he has a legitimate concern for his daughters. He said, I'm thinking about adopting some African boys and bring them here and raise them up in the field. Yeah, at least they have husbands. I said, well, my brother, well, I'm praying that the time will not be that long. That's my prayer, that they will not grow up. So I understand that. So he said, when I come on and see that they're doing something wrong, first thing I do, I say to my wife, oh, what's that? He said, because I know that if they learn that, they learn it from their home. You see, the man has enough gumption and guts to say, it did not come from the world. Somehow we have a lot of spirit in here to allow them to respond that way. Most folks want to blame someone else. But it said here, should I train them, teach them how they must walk? It says in verse 11 of the same chapter, it says, give him no authority in his youth. Don't let him tell you what he's going to do. Give him no authority. But they give him authority today, don't they? The little chap. Mama, no! Say, give him no authority in his youth. And do not ignore his errors. Do not say, well, that's all right. I remember one morning I was walking to the dining hall. Of course, Sister Laquita had Sherry out there. She had to wear that butt out. I don't know what she had done, but she was busting the fire down. And so I asked her, what did she do? Of course, when she saw me, she knew that was reprieve there. She knew, boy, she saw Pastor Roberts. I'm soft on that. Hallelujah. That's why it's wonderful to have someone that does right. Hallelujah. Because she saw me, she ran, Papa jumps in my arms. She knew she was safe for the moment, but it was right for her to correct her, to tan her butt. She didn't kill her. Hallelujah. Why are you saying this, preacher? Because this is how we learn disobedience. It's from our childhood. No one has caused your daughter to be disobedient, your son. She's acting like a hoe because that's what she wants to be. Hallelujah. He says, bow down his neck in his youth, break him up. So the other man said, boy, I'll break your back. What did he say? That's what he meant. Break his neck. Bow him down. You think Brother Dale in his youth, his daddy, he would try him? He knew that Big Daddy Earl, he may be small in stature. He knew he would bow down his neck. He didn't even think that way. He messed up one time. Old Earl said to me, Pastor Earl, I told him, boy, he said that was the last time too. He said, in his youth, you bowed down his neck and you beat his side when he's young. Whoop his butt. Get his hippies. You beat his butt while he's young. Lest he become, look at this, stubborn, disobedient, and disobey you. See, that's why Yah, he said, every son he received, he chased. He said, I'm going to whip your butt, boy. I'm going to bust your heart. I'm going to bring some skin off of it. You're not going to rap back at me. You're not going to disobey me. See, bust his butt, lest he obey you. And have you sorrow of the soul from him. He said, discipline your son and take pains with him. Well, it may hurt you to do that, but he said, do it. That you may not be offended by his shamelessness. That you do not have to suffer the shame. See, you parents sometimes think, well, I'm going to whip you. I'm going to get you. And you don't do it. You know, my grandma would never say that. She'd say, boy, I'm going to bust your heart. You did it again. She said, I'm going to get you, all right? Well, you think it's over with. You had your fun day and a hot day like this in South Carolina. It didn't bother us as kids. Didn't take baths that often, so, you know, you went to bed all dirty and sweaty. And, of course, you're laying down in bed, and all of a sudden you feel something like fire on you. It would be like fire. And she will call the switches. We would get Elim. She would say, get me Elim. You knew, she didn't want nothing like that to break. Nah, nothing like that trash. These things had like little ridges on them. She would break them off. You can get one small all you want, but that's all right. She'd make it work. She go get me another one. And that night, all of a sudden, you awaken, and you feel the fire pouring down on you. And that big woman, she could lay it down, and she would put it on you. And boy, after she finished that, you thought twice about doing that same thing tomorrow. If you did, you had to look, and you were a little leery. So he said, this is what the apocalypse says, don't spare them. Because of your emotion. Because what you do, you create the spirit of disobedience and rebellion. See, some parents say, well, okay, she's all right. Well, she ain't done nothing that bad. Just come on, baby. And you don't correct them B time. And Michelin say, correct your children B time or before time. At least it will bring shame to you. And you think because someone else's actions caused them to be disobedient and rebellious because you did not correct them the way you should. See, Yah, Yisrael, the truth, see, he's going to correct his seed. You're not going to be disrespectful to him. If you're a false one, he's going to let you go on, do that. Ah, I like that. Because there's going to be a difference between my people and thine. He's going to make a demarcation between the people of hell and the people of righteousness. There's more to this, but I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right here, all right? I'm going to read one more thing from the Apocrypha. Hallelujah. Two things I want to read. Just write this down if you have the Apocrypha. They're wonderful to read. It's wonderful. Three certain things out of there, all right? It says in Sirach 2:15, he said, those that fear Yahweh will not disobey his word. Now, is that the truth? You know, I remember years ago when it was 25 years ago, there was this Arabic young man. He owned this store in the mall. And he said to me, he said, I used to go there and buy cologne from him. And he said to me, he said, I want to tell you, my friend, he was a handsome man too. He had this beautiful olive color skin. He was a little taller than me. He was a little bigger than I am, but he was handsome. The man was, he was nice looking. He really was. Beautiful skin. He said, I won't tell you. He said, boy, I'm glad to be in America. He said, man, America. Mwah! He said, I'm glad to be here. Well, of course, some guys were coming to the store because he had a conversation for them.
didn't make him no different. He was a whoremonger. He said, I want to tell you something, my friend. He said, I remember one day getting out of school, and I was a young girl. He said, he was from Saudi Arabia, one of those countries. I forgot at that time. He said, I went across the street, and I bumped her, playing with her. And he said, one of the elders saw that. He didn't say anything to me. He knew my dad. He got my dad. Told him what I had done. I had touched the little girl. And those countries back then, you didn't do that. He said, I won't tell you, man. He said, that night, he said, I was asleep, man. And my daddy, that man came in. He began to beat me. I thought he was going to kill me. He said, he beat me and he beat me. He beat me. He said, man, I tell you, I never touched another girl until coming to America. What do you say, America is just a hole? He said, there. He said, I didn't even look. He said, if I was on the same side of the girl, come here. I'd run to the other side. He said, never. Train him. See, we learn our disobedience from those that we're familiar with and those that have truly birthed us. And when you throw the Torah behind your back, you open the door for them. What you do is stand true to Torah. You stand true to Yah. Let them go to the way of hell. But you stand true to Yah. He tells you what to do. Those that fear Yahweh will obey Him. Now, is that a true statement? If you fear Yahweh, you will obey Him. Well, I don't believe that. Come on, hypocrites. You go down the highway and every mile you go as a police officer, that will you do what the sign says? Why? Because you're honoring Him and because you figure in the ticket. You figure in the ticket. Just be honest. Huh? That's what, you know. And when they say, if you see a sign on that 55 and not 1 mile over, you're going to do 50. Because if he stops you, you're going to say, I'm doing 50. Even when he stops you, you got to resonate a little bolder. Man, I'm doing 50. I know you're doing 50. I just wanted to make sure you know it's 1 mile over 55. We got you. You don't do that because you do it because you fear him. And because you fear him, when you see him, then you honor him what he commands you to do. So those that fear Yahweh will obey his word. And those who have a hava for him will keep his ways. You that love Yah, you will keep his ways. You will certainly do that. He says, in the assembly of sinners, a fire is kindled. And in a disobedient nation, wrath is always kindled. Is this not a disobedient nation? Don't we see that in the death of the young men and the people? I was reading an article, there were 16,500 murders in America this past year. And over half of them were what we call the people of color, dark skin, the people, Negroes, African Americans, or whomever they call themselves. That's who killed the people. Men between the ages of 16, 18, and 29. You one of the young women, they're not no husbands for you. Truth. And so when a wife, some of your wives, you knuckleheads, and I say it that way, and I'm not ashamed, unabashedly. You get a man that loves Yah, that wants to walk right, do right. Want to live decent? You want to act like a crackpot head? Like an immature fruit head nut? You got a man that wants to serve Yah, that wants to live right? Honey, you think you're going to go find a man? I don't care what kind of body you think you got. It means nothing. I don't care how fine you think you're not that fine. We're in an hour whereby a man is going to be more precious than the gold of Ophrah. So you honor your man. You honor your husband. And man, when she honors you, you love her like Yahshua loved the assembly. You're not going out here just fighting a wife, fighting your husband. I can't get me a husband. You fool. You think you can? Or you get somebody just to marry you just to have someone to live. Have them a place to eat. But a husband you're not going to find. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not going to find. That's why when a man cramped, when he finds a wife, he finds a tough thing. And he has favor of Yah. Every woman is not a wife. She is not. I'm just telling you the truth. Every woman is not a wife. He finds a wife, he finds a tough thing. Is Yah tough, just? Yes, Yah is tough. He's real in my being. So when a man finds a wife, that she becomes real. She's a beautiful thing. There's nothing more beautiful than a wife. That's why you wives ought to do what wives ought to do and see what the book says about a wife. You ought to study that every day. At the presence and the beauty of your expression
unto your husband. You're greeting him, saluting him. And you learn how to salute one another. You can learn how to salute him and honor him. There's nothing greater than that. No man wants to come home to a dead head. I wouldn't come home to one like that. I wouldn't even be with them. And that's the truth. What are you saying? Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? I'm not saying this to be boastful. If I want to find me women, I can find them. If I want women, and I'm not talking about no scaggly looking women either. I'm not talking about no welfare heifers. I'm not talking about women with babies either. Whether they're white, black, makes no difference at all. Do you understand that? If I want to be in that service, if I wanted women, and I'm not talking about no women that really, you see these Caspian women, they look bleh. See some of these men of color, some of these Caucasian guys, that's just the truth. I'm not talking about no big old fat white gal like that. Nah. I'm not talking about no woman that's barely making it. Nah. So if I wanted women, if I wanted that, I could do that. I want a wife. And I'm pleased with a wife. That's what I want. The pleasantry of her expression. Her greetings. Hallelujah. I want that. There's nothing more pleasant than that. Men are not cut like you, women. That's just the truth, women. We don't function like you. We think differently. I don't care what the world says. I don't think like Sister Roberts. Sometimes she says, there's a woman. I said, think about what she says. She said, just be quiet. Don't even ask me. Why are you asking me that? I said, if I tell you, what difference does it make? If I even ask you, you're wrong, you wouldn't know it. Well, I just want to say, don't worry about it. Men don't think like women. We don't operate like women. Hallelujah. And that's why Yah give a man a wife so that he help him meet his loyalty unto Yah. And that's what a beautiful wife does. Man, I don't want these young men to bring, I don't want these, hey, with these sisters come, I will look if they ain't right. And they can go back with them if they ain't right. They ain't, come on. But I believe they're beautiful sisters. I really do. And they're Ru'ah. I believe they are. I really do. I don't want the brothers just having no sex partner. These men, come on, old Randy, tall as he is, man, he can go out there. Yeah, he can. I don't want them. I don't want them just to go out there. I don't want them having no sex. I want them to have a wife. Hallelujah. Jezebel called Stacy one day and said that, well, did Pastor Rob make Sean marry you? If I did make him marry, so what difference does it make? Hallelujah. He got a wife. I don't want no wife. I don't want to do that. You know what I said to him? Take some flowers. I go give him the money. When she come, buy some flowers. I don't want to do that. When he saw you, then his whole attitude changed. He said, don't let him trick you. And one day I said to Deacon Benny, I was talking to the brother, I said, look, I didn't say I was sending you back. Even when our attitude got a little shy, I said, look, I send you down there and you're going. I was sending him back home, right? She said, weeping. I said, no, Pastor, down to them. Aren't you glad you didn't go down to them? Come on. Hallelujah. So I say to Deacon Benny I'm not driving back to Arkansas. It's too far. I said, you all would drive. I'm not driving. Well, he got that. He didn't even hear what I said. He told him, so he comes to me. Can he buy you a book for dulcimer? I said, boy, you buy nothing. If she need a book, I buy. I said, I don't even get close to her, boy. I said, you hear me? I said, I'll bust you up. I said, boy, I got in this mess. I said, don't you even get close to a boy. Do you hear me, boy? Well, I knew what I was doing. I wanted him to get mad at him. He got me go dig him in. I said, yeah, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I want to hear that. That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear his complaining. He won't even let me. Yeah. Sweet. Sweet music to my ear. Yeah, that's what I want to hear. Let him talk some more. What does he say? I said, beautiful. Beautiful. If I did make him marry her, so what? Whiskey make men marry women they don't even know. Britney Spears got married and next day she got divorced. Huh? All right then. This wicked nation. You people just don't know how to answer folks like I do. You really don't. You really don't. Because, hallelujah. May Yah bless you all. May He barak you all. May His, hallelujah. We bless you all that are listening. We barak you all in Joshua's mighty name. We greet you. Salutations unto you all. May Yah fill your home with the blessings today. Bless you over there, Sister Celeste. And all we barak you all. Toda Yah. Come on, I want you all to sing my song. You know, come on, Brother Petrio. You all know what song. I haven't heard it in 2 weeks. Hallelujah. So sing for me. Hallelujah. Brothers, we that are you all that Deacon Benny give you charge every day, we're going to work tomorrow. We're going to finish up this building. We're going to We're going to frame it in and everything. We're going to get that done. I need to get it done. You sisters that are listening there in Virginia, yeah, we will come pick you all up for Tabernacle. We're going to send some brothers to get home, Brother James and Brother Josh, to pick those sisters up. You all got a gift that you can send us a gift. We need to get this bus out. We got what they call, quote, a church bus. I don't like to call it that, but quote, church bus. And it costs $3,200. We put $1,000 down. And that bus, actually, those buses cost, you buy a bus like that, it costs $15,000. No, that's not the big bus we're going to get. I just got that one. It's small, and I wanted to get that. But those buses cost, for use, when they cost $15,000, even like a, but it's a nice bus. A seat 22 people is better than a van. And it's more safer than a van. You see them in the hospitals, they commuting people from one place to the other. That's what it is. It has an air conditioner, it's not working, he said. I thought he told me it was working. And we're going to use that to go pick those sisters up. So, Yah barak you all, brothers and sisters that listen, wherever you are, may Yah bless you. This song is for you all. Shalom, shalom.
our feet. We do barak you for all things. I do want to say the pastor's name, the minister's minister, Wallace. Minister Anthony Wallace there in Myrtle Beach. It is the tabernacle of Yah at Shiloh. Also Pastor Pennington there in Philadelphia. Pastor Pennington calls me all the time, almost every day. We barak you, my brother. Fellowship there in Philly. And also Pastor Person there in Chicago. We barak you for your gift. Your wife, Sister Mary, and all. Brother Jerome James. All of you, your faithfulness. You give some to the works of Yah here. We barak you all. In all things, we do barak you, Almighty Yah. Bless your people today. Give us wisdom and understanding in all of your truth. We told on you for Yahshua the Lamb. Above all the blessed, precious stone Yahshua is. We told on you. Help everyone today. Give us rest and comfort even in the midst of this warm weather. We told on you for all things. Let the rain of your rule unfold upon Jerusalem. We barak you for all things in Yeshua's name. House of Israel said hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Brother Michael, Sister Michael, our Brother Alex. Toda, toda, yah.